We have item 646.
Authorize a grant to Central City Concern for the provision of treatment readiness services, transitional housing, and follow-up retention support services to chemically dependent homeless adult chronic arrestees.
And I don't know if we have a presentation on this or not, but nor anyone signed up to testify. Is that correct?
No one signed up.
You're signed up. Okay, then unless there's any further council questions, we'll have a roll call on the emergency ordinance.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Approved. 647.
Authorize a borrowing of not more than $28 million in anticipation of the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund levy for fiscal year 2013-2014.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. Jonas Berry, the city's debt manager. This ordinance authorizes up to $28 million in short-term tax anticipation notes to fund an annual cash flow deficit of the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. Approval of this ordinance is being requested on an emergency basis so that we can complete the transaction as soon as practical and achieve the best possible outcomes. This is an administrative financing action that the city's completed every year for many, many years, but let me just, for the benefit of council, provide a little bit of context. The FPD&R fund receives cash from a voter-approved property tax levy each November. Receipts of that levy can be spent throughout the fiscal year. Obviously, fiscal year ends June 30th, so that creates a situation where we have this window July 1 until the next levy is received in November. So, for example, in fiscal 13-14, we'll receive a levy this November. It'll cover the period November to June 30th, 2014. We have expenditures between now and receipt of the levy in November. The notes that are being proposed will fund that gap. The notes are secured by and will be repaid from receipts of the November levy and mature no later than June 30th, 2014, so paid off prior to the next year. We expect that we will sell these via a competitive bidding process within the first few weeks of the fiscal year. Be happy to answer questions if there are any.
Questions? No one signed up to testify on this, I assume?
And no one signed up.
All right. Thanks, Jonas. Appreciate it. Roll call then.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you. 648.
Approve an agreement with David C. Bakke and Cindy D. Conley to increase the pending lien amount of the property at 11040 Northeast Mark Street by $109,083 to construct additional street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements to Northeast Mark Street from 400 feet east of Northeast 109th Avenue, 284 feet west of Northeast 112th Avenue, and adjust pending lien amounts at 10930 and 10940 Northeast Mark Street due to property consolidation in the Northeast 112th Avenue and Mark Street Local Improvement District.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and City Commissioners. Pleasure to be with you this afternoon. You would think I would know it by now, but I think I need Carla's help in switching over to the presentation. While she's doing that,
Why don't you state your name for the record?
Oh, sorry, Andrew. Yeah. I introduced him for himself, Andrew Abey.
Geek squad, I am not, that's for sure. So, the ordinance before you has two items in the ordinance title. The first one is an opt-in agreement. Thank you, Carla. An opt-in agreement where we are proposing under Section 17.08.080 of City Code to have Council approve a major scope change to the LID. And I'll walk you through the presentation. This will be a little bit of a refresher for those of you who were on the prior council when this LID was approved last year. Northeast 112th Avenue and Mark Street is in the Park Rose neighborhood. It's in a freight district, and it's in the groundwater protection area. So this is a map of the LID in terms of what it looked like when we formed the LID. There's a couple unique characteristics about this LID, which is we tailored the scope of the improvement to where we had petition support for the LID. So in the case of Mark Street, we were planning to build a narrower street on the north side of the right-of-way of Northeast Mark Street and then allow properties along the south side to widen the road in the future when they redevelop. And we're joined today by Cindy and David, who are planning to redevelop, and we want to go ahead and be able to widen the frontage along their property. So this next map here shows you, you can see the little indentation there at their property there at 11040 Northeast Mark, where we would, in fact, widen out the right-of-way or widen out the planned improvement to take care of their frontage. And before I go to the next slide, I just want to point out that circle there that you see at the north end of Northeast 112th Avenue. That is also an element of the project that was not incorporated into the original LID formation ordinance. The ordinance before you would not only approve the opt-in from David and Cindy at 11040 Northeast Marks, but also delegates from council to the LID administrator, myself, the ability to execute extra work agreements with property owners whose frontages are not being improved to go ahead and get their frontage improved as part of this LID. And if they do that, they will bear the cost of that and there will be no impact on the other property owners. And I might also add that under section 17.08.080 of city code, we notified all the property owners of this hearing. The ordinance before you has a remonstrance deadline of June 26th. Because this item got bounced from Wednesday to Thursday, we informally extended the deadline by another day, and we did not receive any remonstrances against the scope change, either by the original deadline or the informal extended deadline. The other item that's addressed in the ordinance title is we had a lot consolidation occur at 10930 and 10940 Northeast Mark Street. On the left, you can see there used to be three different properties there with a pending lien that has now been consolidated into a single property with a pending lien. We're not proposing to change the combined assessment. We're just simply wanting to take two pending lien amounts and consolidate it into a combined pending lien amount. And I received no correspondence back from the property owner. So this is what the street looks like today on Northeast Mark Street. So what you're looking at here is that we have existing sumps in the area, but the problem is that once the water leaves the pavement, the shoulder, even if graded from time to time by the property owners, will not channel the water to the existing inlet. So the combination of widening the pavement and installing new curb will ensure that the water gets to its disposal point and is conveyed away. So the problem is that if we have streets like this with inlets, but we don't have an effective way to channel the water to those inlets, then the inlets are basically useless, as you can see in this picture here. So what we're going to do is we've already planned as the scope of this improvement to install a very large storm sewer in Mark Street. So when we do that, we're going to remove these inlets, which are non-compliant UICs, and we're going to replace them with a new green stormwater facility that will either be at or adjacent to 11040 Northeast Mark Street, which will treat the water prior to conveyance. There's just a few more pictures you can see there. You can see the standing water there on the street. And then there's one more picture there as well. And then this is a picture of the Northeast 109th Avenue LID that we completed about 2 years ago, right around the corner from these planned improvements. It kind of gives you a flavor for what the street might look like when we're all done. So that's the extent of the presentation that I wanted to do for you today. There's just a couple items that I wanted to call out to council's attention. I thought the ordinance title was long enough, and I didn't think we wanted to make the ordinance title any longer, but there are a few other things in the ordinance. One is there's a directive that allows us to construct an interim asphalt path. This is really targeted for locations where we have buildings out of compliance with setback requirements, and it would take an undue amount of engineering to construct a new sidewalk in front of a house that doesn't even conform to current zoning. In a few years, we would expect that house to redevelop, and we would have spent a lot of money trying to engineer a sidewalk that could have been built much more cheaply later when the property redevelops. And then, of course, when the property is redeveloped, those property owners will be required to do that. I mentioned it gives the authority to negotiate extra work agreements. And then the third thing is there's a directive in there that when we formed the LID, there was a $100,000 fixed contribution from the Bureau of Environmental Services to deal with the stormwater that you saw there. They had a program to retrofit the UICs that were non-compliant, and instead of retrofitting the UICs, we're going to construct a more sustainable long-term solution. So last but not least, scope change will not only afford benefit to David and Cindy, but we also are going to increase fire suppression capability in the area with the installation of another fire hydrant. So good benefit all the way around. So I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. And David and Cindy, I believe, are here for their very first city council hearing, so I hope you'll give them a warm welcome.
Thank you. Well, thanks for your presentation.
Thank you, Andrew.
Questions?
I just wanted to note, in the interest of time, the next item is also an emergency, and I think the Commissioner Fritz has to leave at 4:30, so I'm curious. Carla, is there anybody else signed up to testify on this item?
Not on this one, but we do have one on the next.
Mr. Backe and Ms. Conley? Sorry. So, thank you, Andrew.
Okay.
Welcome.
Hi, David Backe, property owner at 11020 Northeast Marks, and we support the proposition to do the improvement in the front of our property at 11040 Northeast Mark. We own both those properties side by side. One is fully developed. The other is the proposed one where it would offer us the opportunity to do phase two of our small business center development. Our phase one is on the 11020, where our existing offices and other tenant rental spaces. So the phase two would offer us the opportunity to put up four 5,000 square foot buildings, total of 20,000 square feet, and open up more opportunity for a small business lease space, warehouse, and small office.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
No one else signed up.
And let's take a roll call on the ordinance.
Saltzman?
Good work. Always, it's good when we can help a business expand its capacity. Good work. Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for coming in. Aye.
Hales.
Great project. Nice partnership. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Item 649.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for the design and construction of I-5 northbound ramps at Southwest Coronado Street project.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Hales, members of council, I'm Dan Layden, Capital Program Manager for Portland Transportation. I'm going to be very brief, and I also have a couple of folks from ODOT here to answer questions about this project. Essentially, the ordinance before you does one very simple thing. It transfers a very small piece of property that is currently in city right-of-way on Southwest Coronado Street to the Oregon Department of Transportation for maintenance as part of their safety project on I-5 and Highway 99W. So that's essentially what the ordinance does. The property is a bit smaller than the buildings we were discussing earlier this afternoon. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Shelley Romero and Anna Yelanovich from the Oregon Department of Transportation to discuss in a little more detail the project.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Shelley Romero. I'm with ODOT Region 1, the Public Policy and Community Affairs Manager. The Oregon 99W I-5 Ramps project is located on the tip of the Ash Creek neighborhood and the city of Tigard. It's a safety project. Through this project, ODOT will design and implement safety improvements targeting all modes of transportation, including pedestrians, transit users, vehicular traffic, and bicyclists. As Dan said, the IGA that you're considering today will allow ODOT to construct ramp improvements to the northbound ramps of I-5 adjacent to Coronado Street, establish jurisdiction and control of that portion of Southwest Coronado Street, and establish the maintenance responsibility of this parcel. The IGA basically allows ODOT to make improvements to the parcel and to conduct maintenance work upon completion of construction. The property is noted in the IGA exhibit as Parcel A in your packets that were included with your materials. ODOT seeks approval of this agreement to construct a new portion of sidewalk, add a bicycle lane, build a retaining wall, and add landscaping along 99W headed east.
Thanks, Shelley. I'm Anna Yovanovich. I'm a senior project leader at ODOT, and
I guess I'm in charge of the engineering and design team for this project. I'd like to go over the three-page handout that we just gave out. First, a summary of ODOT's public involvement efforts has been provided. Throughout ODOT's public involvement efforts, two of our major stakeholders have been the Ash Creek Neighborhood Association, as well as SWNI, the Southwest Neighborhoods Incorporated. And ODOT staff has participated in a number of meetings and walking tours with the members of the Neighborhood Association and SWNI in order to understand their concerns and suggestions related to safety improvements for the bicyclists and pedestrians. Throughout the project, Ash Creek Neighborhood Association and SWNI have proposed 9 suggested improvements outside of the original project scope. And these are actually outlined on the second page as a table. As a result of Ash Creek Neighborhood Association and SWNI advocacy and good work, ODOT staff has been able to explore these 9 suggestions and able to fully incorporate 7 of them. And those are also outlined in the chart. And as a result, our project is much better because of their input. And in order to visualize not only these improvements that they suggested, but the project as a whole, you can look at the map that is on the third page. The bike and ped improvements are specifically highlighted in the yellow areas and called out in the yellow call-out boxes. We understand that members of the Ash Creek Neighborhood Association and SWNI are disappointed that ODOT cannot accommodate bike lanes on the bridge structure. In a sense, we're disappointed too. That's why ODOT has worked diligently to partially accommodate their request and will stripe an approximate 4-foot shoulder in the southbound direction on the bridge structure. We know this is not a perfect solution, but that said, there are a number of pinch points in this area that make a continuous bike lane difficult without widening the bridge itself. And bridge widening is outside of the scope of this particular project. ODOT recognizes that there is future work to be done outside of the scope of this project. Going forward, we would like to continue to monitor the performance of the specific bike and ped improvements that we are going to be incorporating and also make adjustments as needed. And ODOT and the City of Portland and our other regional partners, such as cities of Tigard, Sherwood, Tualatin, Washington County, and the community members, are all working together on what you probably know as the Southwest Corridor Plan, to identify the best high-capacity transit option in the corridor, as well as key improvements for all users, of course, including the bike and the ped communities.
And I'll just wrap this up by saying that ODOT remains committed to working with SWNI and the Ash Creek Neighborhood Association and stakeholders to make this the best project that we can to improve safety across all modes. We recognize that this means ongoing communication with our stakeholders, and we're committed to that. Our projects are better because of our stakeholders. Adoption of today's agreement represents a small but important piece of this overall safety improvement project. ODOT has a desire to get this project moving forward due to the federal funding obligation requirement, which has this, which dictates that we need to bid the project in the fall winter of this year. Therefore, we urge your support of the ordinance and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you all. Questions?
Have you given this table to SWNI? Had they had it ahead of time?
Page two. I'm not sure if Marianne, the representative from SWNI, has been able to look at this particular thing, but we have. I have gone over them, over these 9 and the 2 that we have, and not only at a phone call that we recently had, but also at a meeting that we just had yesterday.
And has the Far Southwest Neighborhood been involved in these discussions?
I believe the Far Southwest Neighborhood is represented to get it from through the Ashwood Neighborhood and the SWNI as well. I think Marianne can maybe allude to that, but my understanding is some of the other members that we've met with basically represent the transportation needs that the Far Southwest Neighborhood.
One question I had is the work that you're proposing to do, when it's done, will it make it any more difficult to add the additional bike ped improvements that SWNI is asking for?
The 2 that we couldn't accommodate, and the first one that is kind of the biggest one, is that would require the widening of the bridge structure. So everything that we're doing outside of the bridge structure would improve our flow, the traffic flow for all modes, including the bike and pedestrian, and probably would not preclude any future improvements. The widening of the bridge structure and introduction of a bike lane or wider sidewalks is probably a different matter. Does that answer your question?
I think it does, but I just want to clarify. The work you're doing won't make it any more difficult than it is today to add the bike path improvements that Sweeney is asking for. Is that your understanding?
Wait.
Yes, as long as they're off the bridge structure.
In other words, on the bridge structure, you know, unless there's a replacement, you really can't add widening or capacity to that structure. So we've got funding for this project. It's a safety project. We're just barely touching the bridge, and there's no space to accommodate additional capacity, whether that means widening lanes for vehicular or looking at bike lanes. But as we have mentioned, we are able, through our work with Sweeney and Ash Creek Neighborhood Association, to do some additional striping so that bikes can use that extra spot. But no, there isn't anything. The answer to your question is no.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And is the on-ramp, the pedestrian from who's walking on 99W up Barber, is there a signal to allow the pedestrian to cross the on-ramp?
No,
the improvements specifically on the one that's called labeled as New Ped Refuge, is that the one you're referring to?
Further to the west,
yeah,
right
65th.
By Southwest Coronado.
Yeah.
At Southwest 64th.
Southwest 64th. I believe there's a transit stop already, and the pedestrians would use the signalized intersection already existing. Is that the one?
No, if you're walking.
Yeah, you'd be walking where the dark green arrow is. You wouldn't be walking along the
Then you're
the
walking up
on-ramp.
Here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
There isn't a, I believe.
Right,
so. You have to scurry across.
So actually there's a sidewalk missing, and you, because of that yellow highlighting, you can see the initial proposal is kind of a red arrow, which would introduce a new sidewalk right there. And then the pedestrians to get across would use the signalized intersection at the corner.
But with how do the pedestrians get across the on-ramp?
I believe they go to the end of the corner of Coronado and 64th and use this existing signal.
That's signalized.
Yeah.
You
can see the stripe if you, I guess, get a magnifying glass. It's hard for me too.
There's a signal here.
Right. If I'm walking up here,
right.
How do I cross this? This is the on-ramp. How do I cross
across? Walking along the south side.
You don't. You're not going across that way. You're going up.
I think the pedestrian should be on the sidewalk.
Right. We're introducing a new sidewalk. If you wish to cross any further west, there is no sidewalk. I believe the next signalized intersection is down here where the tiger label is.
Well, maybe we should take the testimony
our project limits are basically from where approximately these arrows are drawn on.
Right. Thank you.
No problem. Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you. Marianne, I know you're signed up. I'm not sure if anyone else is.
That's all. Just Marianne Fitzgerald.
Come on up.
Thank you. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I did bring copies of my testimony. I live at 10537 Southwest 64th Drive. I've been a member of Ash Creek and president of Southwest Neighborhoods, and I've been living within a half mile of this project for 34 years, so I do have a personal interest in it. In 1985, when this bridge was built and I saw the substandard sidewalks and no bike lanes, I thought, this is it. And it's irritated me for 28 years. But so fast forward to 2008, when this project showed up on the STIP list, Sweeney wrote a letter to Jason Tell asking for bike and ped improvements in this project specifically. And we thought we were getting in early in the process when we requested the bike and pedestrian improvements in 2008. Over the last 5 years, I periodically contact ODOT for project status. When we learned that finally a project manager had been assigned, we arranged the first site visit on August 5th, 2011, but then we heard nothing. The next I heard about it was when ODOT staff presented the draft project design to the Sweeney Transportation Committee in November 2012, and we noted that at the time the proposal to widen the lanes made it more dangerous for the pedestrians and bicyclists. And there and then Ash Creek and Far Southwest invited ODOT. So I have a letter from Ash Creek dated February 4th noting our concerns. And then we did a second site visit on March 19th. And yes, there were two representatives from Far Southwest on both of the site visits. So the two neighborhoods are working closely together. But again, nothing happened. So when this item appeared on the city council agenda, I was really concerned that our concerns had not been addressed. So that's why I sent the email. And I've had two meetings with ODOT this past week, hence the checklist in front of you. And I just told Anna, I've talked with ODOT more about this project in the last 3 days than the last 3 years. So it's just interesting how things like this can happen. So I do want to thank ODOT that they've modified the design to add the short bike lane at Coronado and add some signage to make it safer for bicyclists to travel northbound, although I've included a picture of the bridge, and everybody says it's okay for bicyclists to use this little sidewalk because that's what will happen and generally does happen today, sharing it with pedestrians. In the southbound lane, they've added the striped shoulder to the design, which is 3 feet wide at a couple of pinch points and 4 feet wide at best. Again, it's better than what they have today, which is nothing, but, you know, still 3 feet. So the third thing, and a different one that we thought you were talking about, they've added this pedestrian refuge, which is on the right side of this graphic that you have, which is at that apartment complex called Westview Terrace. There's a gentleman in a wheelchair that uses that transit stop there, about 40 boardings a day at that transit stop. And we've asked for a crosswalk to go along with the refuge, and we've been told it's unsafe. And, you know, false sense of security, yada, yada, yada. So we continue to wish for better crossing improvements, particularly because this is within the Southwest Corridor area, and we do expect more growth and density in this area. So, you know, put some electricity in here so we could install a rapid flash beacon in the future, something. But, you know, what we're getting is a little bit of concrete in the middle for the wheelchair and stroller people to hide in as they try to cross the street. So these improvements, you know, we really thank ODOT for listening to us and doing what they could in the last 6 months. Could ODOT do more? Well, sure they could, particularly if they had taken us seriously back in August 2011. We're still hoping there's an unused median in the center that's not mentioned in the checklist that as of yesterday, ODOT says, no, ASHTO, we can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And from a practical standpoint, I still don't understand why the answer is no. And then the second thing is the crossings. Oh, it's unsafe. There's a freeway ramp, yada, yada. So it's still a disappointment that that's the best they could do. Could PBOT do more? Of course they could. PBOT was invited to both of the site visits but did not attend. PBOT is mentioned in the staff report, but when I asked ODOT yesterday who they're working with, none of the five people in the room could answer that question. And the staff response to public investment involvement question number 9, that the community is happy, tells me that whoever was doing this didn't know what they were doing. So I just wanted to remind you that the Barber Concept Plan and the Southwest Corridor Plan envision growth along this corridor, and I really hate to lose this opportunity to make things better, and yes, I'm going to have to wait another 25 years for something else to happen to get the improvements that we need. And so the lessons learned, whenever projects are proposed to be constructed in areas that lack multimodal infrastructure, PBOT and ODOT staff need to put pedestrian and bicycle safety needs front and center and see how bike and safety improvements can be incorporated along with motor vehicle safety improvements. Whether it's the Barber Demo Project that I hope gets funded this year, whether it's Powell, Woodstock, Cully, East Portland, I don't care where it is, as soon as these projects are proposed in areas that don't have the infrastructure, we need to ask how can we incorporate the infrastructure we need into these projects. And then about the agenda item, well, I do find it ironic that this little parcel is the only place where ODOT is constructing a sidewalk and a bike path, and it wasn't noted in the staff report, and I do thank them for that. So, you know, as I say here, you know, the real conclusion is that we're disappointed. You know, we're excited, we were hopeful, we wanted to try, we worked together, we know the bridge is a bridge, and they only got so much width, and we tried, and it's really much, much better than it was 6 months ago. But, you know, lesson learned in the future, let's think creatively, think innovatively. Don't say, oh, ASHTO won't let me, when you really got to think about what we need as a community to accommodate the growth and provide more safety for pedestrians and bicyclists in the future.
Thank you very much. Questions for Mary Ann?
Mary Ann, may I just ask, and I totally take your words to heart, but just, I mean, assuming this is take it or leave it, will we be better off, you know, next year than we are today if this project goes ahead?
Yes, it's better than it is today. Yes, take it or leave it, we're fine. It's much better than it was. It's okay. You know, it's not good. It's just okay.
I don't think that should be our standard, though.
Well, that's my point, is that, you know, I feel like I'm accepting crumbs. You know, we did what we could. Sorry, we tried. And so, you know, I feel sometimes in Southwest Portland, that's what we get over and over and over again. And I keep pushing for real sidewalks, real bike paths, real crossings, especially on Barber. So, you know, maybe we have to say, okay, this is as good as we can do for now. But, you know, that's why I said, let's not do this again in the future. Let's try harder.
And I certainly hope it's not 25 years before we get to implement any of the aspects of the Barber concept plan.
I hope.
Okay. Thank you very much for all that you do on this subject.
Mayor, I'm not prepared to vote for this as an emergency ordinance today. Given that, if we could set it over for a week and see if we could have some more conversation, I'm particularly concerned about that on-ramp. The bus stop is going to be putting people off. And by building the new sidewalk to the north of the on-ramp, you're encouraging people to use the sidewalk walking south, which then they get to the end and there's no safe way to cross the on-ramp. So I'd like to have some more time to look at that myself, perhaps involving the Far Southwest neighbors who are to the south of this. I believe with a little more discussion we could perhaps get to something better, but as I say, I'm not prepared to vote for this as an emergency ordinance today.
Okay, just a question for staff. You can just nod or look panicked, but this is not a fiscal year issue. It's that you want to get this into construction this fall, right? Okay. Yeah. Right. So if we continue this for a week or until Wednesday of next week, when we have a meeting, then that will allow a little more time but still be within your window of need, right?
Thank you very much.
You,
I
Shelley.
Appreciate that.
So therefore, we'll appreciate this. We will continue this item until Wednesday of next week.
Yes, 9:30 a.m.
What's that?
The meeting will be at 9:30
a.m. At 9:30 in the morning. Thank you. And therefore, we are adjourned for this week.
Let's try to convene in my office at some point between now and then. Unfortunately, I have to rush off right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.